Now, I want to put the spotlight on a story here which is gruesome, and it's in the papers. Ireland's youngest killers, they've been sentenced for the murder of a beautiful young girl called Anna Craigle. She was found dead in an abandoned farmhouse outside Dublin in the Lucan area last May. And two boys, 15-year-old boys, known as Boy A and Boy B, were found guilty in June of murdering the 14-year-old. The schoolgirl's naked body was found in an abandoned farmhouse, as I say, in Lucan last May. She'd been reported missing by her parents. Now, Boy A was sentenced to life at Dublin's criminal court yesterday, with a review period apparently coming up after 12 years. He was also convicted of aggravated sexual assault and will be placed on the sex offenders register. Boy B was sentenced to 15 years detention with a review after 8 years. And after the sentences were handed down, Anna's father, Patrick, said justice had been served. And standing beside Anna's mother, Geraldine, he said the judge has decided on the sentence and that duty lies with him alone. Now, it's sickening to think that two teenage boys would do that to this young child. But they're not accepting that they did it. They don't seem to realise that they did it. I want to speak to Michael Doyle from the Irish Sun. Michael, good morning.
Good morning.
Michael, this is one sickening story to think that any two teenagers from any country would do this, but two young Irish fellas have done this to this beautiful child. What is it about them that they're not prepared to accept what they did? Even though one of them accepts that he killed her, he's still in a state of denial, isn't he?
It's true, yeah. It's a bizarre one. I mean, it's an unprecedented case. I mean, we've known this from the outset, even from the time the murder took place over a year and a half ago. We knew this was going to be this was different. It was unprecedented. The guards were pains to point out yesterday. None of them have ever investigated a crime like this. Most people in the legal profession have never prosecuted or defended accused or a case of this nature. And certainly Judge Paul McDermott says I don't think he's never come across anything like this. And these are two normal, well-educated boys. Came from loving families. They were probably given every opportunity in the world. They had no mental disorders. There's no personality disorders. And the why is one of the questions that this case has left. Nobody has been able to figure out why or what drove these two boys to carry out this horrendous murder. Only after they fought the case from the beginning, they both pleaded not guilty. Even in interviews, they continued to deny it in many ways. Boy A, in particular, denied it from the outset. Boy B told various versions of events. I mean, the judges pointed out the number of lies he told throughout. And since they were convicted in the summer, and they've been detained in Overstown Detention Centre, and they've been assessed by psychologists and psychiatrists. And since then, Boy A has accepted. He's accepted that he is responsible for causing Anna's death. Boy B doesn't see what he's done wrong from the outset. He lured her from her home and watched effectively as Boy A carried out the murder. So they still kind of are still fighting in many ways. They still deny it. Boy A admits, but. And the judge said yesterday that any admissions he's since made will be largely self-serving. He could be aggravated sexual assault. And he says that it was more of an accident what he did to her. But I think anybody who listened to the follow the case from the outset and listened to the forensic evidence would see that this was far from an accident.
Yeah, it's such a sickening and harrowing story, as I say. This is a beautiful young girl who had young girls or young boys tend to at that age, she had a crush on this fella, this Boy A, and she was very taken by the fact that he had expressed an interest in her. So Boy B lured her to come to meet him, and then he kills her. He sexually assaults her and he kills her in front of Boy B, who's prepared to watch this happen. And his DNA and from sexual activity is found on her clothing. he still denies that that he's sexually assaulted her in any way, but he horrifically killed her. Have they, are they no further forward as to what was going through the heads of those relatively young teenagers? We're talking about lads being about 13 or 14 when they did this. Was there any suggestion that they were mimicking something they saw on the internet? Anything that would explain behaviour that's so out of step with the behaviour of a standard child?
Yeah, they were 13. They were both 13 years of age when they're children themselves. They're babies. But and during the course of the trial, it came out there was a lot of material seized from Boyer's home in particular, a lot of internet searches, and he certainly had some choice interests, I suppose, in the internet. I mean, there were various searches for pornography and stuff of that nature, and violence as well. There was certain searches on his computer for violence towards women. It was just bizarre, strange stuff that, like any child, I mean, it's like any child should not be viewing or should not be looking at. Like, that's the only kind of connection that the authorities have been able to draw between what they did, because as I said, it's they're still that bewildered as to why this took place, what drove carry out this horrendous crime. Because it is, I mean, set aside the fact for a moment that these are two children and carried out this crime, even if it was two adults, it's still one of the most horrific murders this country perhaps has ever seen, certainly in modern times. So to be able to figure out like what or what drove them to do it or why they did it is they're almost no closer to determining that.
Is it believed that when Boy B lured Anna away from her home and she left with an air of excitement that evening to go to meet Boy A, is there a suggestion that Boy B knew exactly what was planned for her?
The line broke up slightly. The line broke up slightly there for a second.
Yeah, is it believed that Boy B, when he lured her from her home and she left with an air of excitement, is it believed that he knew exactly what lay in wait for her? Because he didn't touch her, he didn't attack her. All he did was take her to Boy A. Is there any possibility that he was under the spell of Boy A and really didn't know what he was leading Anna into? Because he was found guilty, and some people have more sympathy for Boy B than they do for Boy A.
Well, Boy B did lure her from her home, and he has said from the outset that he had no idea what was going to take place, that Boy A was going to carry out this horrific murder. But he stayed and watched, and the judge said in court that he didn't believe him. He thinks he knew full well what was going to happen. There was evidence of a conversation that took place between the two a month previously where this was discussed. He had given Boy A a roll of Tescon tape from his garage, which was found wrapped around Anna's. So they just didn't believe him. He said, as far as you're concerned, you knew full well what was going to happen. You were part of the planning stage, and on that basis, the jury came to the right decision. That's certainly the jury of Paul McDermott. He's full well what was going to take place. And the evidence in the trial and by the number of lies he told in the aftermath and in the interviews suggests that he knew what was going to take place. Certainly that was the evidence given in the trial. Anyway.
Sadly, they have been given anonymity. I say sadly because they'll be out in probably 15 years from now. The chances are they'll both be out and they'll be living in Ireland in 15 years from now. And they will be young men of about 30 years of age. And they're entitled to anonymity. And some young woman who will be 30 years of age will meet them and date them and fall in love with them and possibly marry them. That to me is scandalous, but that's the law.
That's the law. It's the law of the land. And Judge Paul McDermott even said yesterday, and he's been very strict throughout the whole trial process to make sure that none of these boundaries were crossed. He had considered lifting that ban at some point, but he decided he would keep it in to protect them and to protect their families, and more so. But it's true. Now, obviously, everybody from the area they're from are aware who's involved in this. The family apparently have suffered from graffiti in their locality, and that's, you know, it's part of the law in this country, and they will have on it. So certainly anybody from another part of the country or another part of the world will not be aware of who they are. They won't be able to. There's no evidence on Google as to who they are or the crime that they committed. But that's something that will remain in place. And certainly, Judge McDermott said it's an order he might consider revisiting at some point in the future.
Well, let's hope he does, because it'd be terrible for someone to meet them in years to come and not know what the background is. Michael, thank you very much indeed. Apologies for the line not being great, but Michael Doyle there from the Irish Sun. 0289033105. I should emphasise as well that people are facing some charges with regards to revealing the identity of those killers on social media, and they'll be in court at a later date. This is the U105 phone-in. How on earth would you cope if you brought up two children like those two lads? How would you cope? Yeah, you have to feel for their family, don't you? You do. I think you have to feel for their parents. I don't know enough about the background other than it's a very standard background. Doesn't make people any better or any worse than people who come from a challenging background. But there's just no explanation at all, other than possibly an interest in what they saw online, to explain why they would be such vicious, evil people at 13 years of age. Sickening, absolutely sickening. If you're just joining us, you're very welcome. This is the U105 phone-in. Good morning to you.